I have to put fuel in the airplane in the pouring down rain. I'm praising the Lord. I'm thanking the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know why all this is happening, but I know you know what's going on. So I finally got, I didn't fill it up, but I put enough in it to get over there and get back with no problem. And then I lost one of my books. I couldn't find my book. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. I don't know what I did with that. Well, I left it in the truck. So I had a taxi all the way back down there to where I'd parked the truck. Get out and get my book with all my frequencies and everything. Got back in it. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord, I don't know what's going on here. But I want to praise you and thank you for this privilege to go pray for this man. When I finally got there, I was an hour late. I mean, an hour late. Although, you know, I was able to get across there very quick in an airplane. I got there. They picked me up, took me to the place. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry, I'm late. No problem. And I didn't understand, but about 15 minutes after I started teaching this gentleman what he needed to know, a pastor walked in. And he come by to visit with the man because he knew he was sick. She said, you need to meet the pastor. I said, okay. I met the guy. She told me, or told him what I was there to do, minister to her husband for healing by the word of God. He said, well, gee, I need to sit here and listen to this. But he said, I only got about 15 minutes. I've got to go pick up the children at school. And I said, well, sir, you're welcome to stay as long as you like. So he sat down there and he stayed, and 15 minutes came and went. And I noticed after about 30 minutes, he's getting a little fidgety. He's watching his watch. And all of a sudden he said, sir, can you stop just a minute? And I said, sure, no problem. He said, I've got to go call somebody to pick up my children. I've got to pick them up at school. But said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to miss this. I said, fine. So he went outside, called, and had somebody else pick up his children. And he come back in and said, now then, let's continue. He said, I don't want to miss this. Well, after the evening was over, I ministered to that family till about 5:30. And that pastor. And he was awestruck at God's word of what he had learned that day. I thought, Lord, I am grateful that I didn't grumble and complain. Although I took off in a pouring down rain and they told me that it was going to be bad. I said, Lord, you got to open me an airway across there so I can get over there to minister to this family. And I didn't fly 2 minutes and all of a sudden it stopped raining and he opened up skies for me over there. And I flew over there in the clear. And I thought, Lord, you're so awesome. But see, when you get into patience and godliness, then you can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything, and he will do it for you. And all these great and precious promises are written in this book. And then he says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, this is the secret that makes everything work. Without love and the God kind of love, nothing works. Nothing works. But when you walk in the God kind of love, nothing is difficult. I mean, your faith will work. Listen to what he says in verse 8. For if, now God put a lot of these ifs in his Bible. And I mean, I've went back and done a study on the word if in many places. And it's amazing the places that he's put this if. But right here in verse 8, in 2 Peter, he says, for if these things be in you, what things? All the things we just talked about. For if these things be in you and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if these things are not in you, and they don't abound in you, and the love doesn't work, and the godliness is not there, and the brotherly kindness is not there, and the patience is not there, and all the things, the virtue, all the things that we've talked about, if you don't allow those things to be a part of your life, and if they don't abound in you, then he says, you will not be able to become, through the knowledge of God, this partaker. These things have to be in you, and they have to abound in you. You have to be patient, godly, love, walk in love. Do all the things that God says. And if you do, Then, as you study the Word, He will open the Scriptures to you. I mean, He will open this Word of God to you, and great and awesome and wonderful things will begin to happen when you pray for people. And you will begin to walk in a place that's beyond your wildest dreams. But you've got to identify yourself with Christ. You've got to learn who you are. Now, let me read this right quick to you in the Living Bible. That, I don't think it could be any more powerful than it was in the King James. But I just want you to hear it right quick. In the Living Bible, it says, "For as you know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a truly great life." Now, that's where everybody wants to walk. "He even shares His own glory and His own goodness with us." He shares everything with us. "And by that same mighty power that He has given us all these other things, this other rich and wonderful blessings, He promised. For instance, He promised to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us His own character." So God Himself, as you walk in all this, He saves you from all this stuff. But listen to this. This is where it's a little bit different in the Living Bible in verse 5. "But to obtain these gifts, you need more than faith." You can't just have just faith. It takes more than faith to make these things work. "You must also work hard to be good." In other words, if you got all the faith in the world and you're not walking in love, your faith won't work. You got to be working diligently at this. So you must work hard to be very good. And then it says, "And even that is not enough." Wow. Somebody said, "Well, what does God want?" Well, He wants it all. That's what He wants. And it says, "For then you must learn to know God better and discover what He wants you to do." You got to know Him better. Well, how are you going to get to know God better? Read His Word, pray, seek Him, worship Him, praise Him, and thank Him over and over and over, all day, every day. But the main thing is studying the Word of God, reading this book, meditating on these promises. And I mean meditating on these promises over and over and over and over. And as you do that, then He will begin to give you this great revelation. Next, you learn to put aside your own desire. You got to kind of throw yourself away. In fact, technically, you have to die to your own desires. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have His way with you. So whatever God wants you to do, that, in other words, if you're driving down the road, and I don't care if you're in a hurry going someplace, and all of a sudden in your heart, you hear, "Go by John's house and see him." If you say, you know, where'd that thought come from? Well, that thought came from God. Because you knew John had been sick, or John had a need, or John lost his job, or his wife was down, or he had a problem with a child, or his car was broke down, or something. And you knew John had a need. You knew he had a need. You knew what the need was. And God told you to go over there. And you didn't do it. If you're walking in obedience to God's Word, He will begin to reveal all these things to you. He'll begin to talk to you. And as long as you become obedient to do what He wants you to do, not what you want to do, but what He wants you to do, then I guarantee God will give you the desires of your heart. And He will give you the privilege to walk in a place that He will bless your socks off. I mean, He will bless you. He will bless you with whatever your desire is. Whatever your desire is. In other words, if you're a woman, you may love beautiful clothes. Like my wife. She's a beautiful woman and she loves beautiful clothes. Her desire is to have many beautiful clothes. Well, God has just blessed her with so many beautiful things. She has so many beautiful clothes. She can dress up so beautiful. I mean, she's radiant. We go to church, she's beautiful, but her desire is to dress beautiful for her God. And she likes to dress nice for me too, because whenever we get ready on Sunday or whenever it is, And she comes out and she's got her beautiful outfit on. I always tell her she's beautiful and how sweet she looks. And if I forget, she don't let me forget. She'll throw that hand up and say, well, and of course I look at her and I think, I forgot. And I say, honey, you're beautiful, because he has given her the desires of her heart. She has a closet full of beautiful clothes. Now, isn't that amazing that since she loves beautiful clothes, he's given her a closet full of beautiful clothes? Me, a pair of blue jeans is about all I need. But for church on Sunday, and who knows where God's going to send me before everything's over. I mean, at one time I only had a couple of suits and three or four sport coats and maybe two or three pair of slacks or whatever. But I've added to that wardrobe a little bit. And then the other day I was given 15 beautiful suits. I thought, well, and every one of them fit perfect. I thought, wow, the Lord. I just built a brand new closet and I had a great big rod that I didn't have anything hanging on. And all of a sudden it's full. God has given me 15 new suits. You just can't outgive God. So now I got these beautiful suits to wear with my beautiful wife with her beautiful clothes. What does he give us? The desires of our heart, as long as we put him first. I think about the places my wife and I go to pray for people. We used to just go in the town where we lived, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. But I think about when I went to Corpus in 99 to pray for a woman that was on her deathbed with terminal breast cancer. And I went down there, taught them the Word of God for 5 hours. I mean, you got to love God to get up on Saturday morning at 5 o'clock and go to Corpus Christi, fly down there and pray for a woman you've never seen and teach her the Word of God for 5 solid hours with her husband, and then get on an airplane and fly back home and get back home at 10 o'clock at night on Saturday. But I got to see God heal that woman right there in my presence. What a privilege. Now, God sent me to do that. He told me to go do all the things. And when you're obedient, just like he says here, if you'll do everything God is telling you to do and have it his way, he said, then this will make possible the next step, which is this, for you to enjoy other people and to like them, and finally, you will grow to love them. So there's not anything like walking in the God kind of love. When you're obedient to do what he says, the love of God will begin to work in a mighty way in your heart.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.